If you will, both readings talk about our own role as prophets. We share, it says, our identity, the church tells us, and we share Jesus' identity as priest, prophet, and king. Or I should say, we sort of participate in that. And a prophet, of course, we think of prophets as predicting the future, which sometimes they did, but mostly they told the people what God wanted them to say. Today we have Ezekiel being told by God that he is to confront the wicked. And he says that if you confront the wicked and they don't change, then that's on them. But if you don't, then it's on them, but it's also on you, because you had a responsibility to tell the wicked, to call people to, especially as a prophet. Ezekiel had a responsibility to call the people to repentance. And then we have Jesus, and these are meant to kind of go together. Jesus is talking about something a little different. He's talking about someone who has, he says, sinned against you or done you wrong, that you are to confront him, and then if he doesn't reconcile, then get two or three people together, go talk to him, and then if he doesn't listen to the two or three people, go talk to the church. If he doesn't listen to the church, I always like that. Treat him as you will, a Gentile or a tax collector. And of course, tax collectors were different in those days. They did something that was legal but wasn't right. It was sort of legalized extortion. And many of them were ethnically, if you will, Jewish, but as you can see, Jesus kind of considers them unrepentant tax collectors. Obviously, repentant tax collectors became part of his. We have Matthew and Zacchaeus, repentant tax collectors who became followers of him, but unrepentant tax collectors sort of placed themselves outside the body. And so that's what he calls them to do. And, you know, it's important to think of that, because we have a hard time, I think, nowadays talking to people about right and wrong. But we do have a responsibility. You know, I've had many older parents of children that are grown that have kind of gotten away from the church, and they always blame themselves, which is, I understand that. As a priest, you always think of, well, how could I have done something different when somebody falls away from the church? But really, we can only present the truth as best we can, and people choose, and they choose with their own free will whether to reject that or not. If we've done that, you know, it is hard, but maybe, you know, we need to stop feeling guilty about that when somebody falls away from the church if we've done it. But as God points out to Ezekiel, we do need to do that. And Jesus kind of gives us a nice formula. He says first of all, we talk about it with individually, and then we take, he says, a couple of people. And that's a key thing, you know, a key concept because if you remember from the Old Testament, it took the testimony of at least two witnesses to convict. And the rabbis, I read this week, that the rabbis teach that, taught in those days, and probably still teach that, when two people get together to study the Torah, that the Shekinah, the glory of God, comes upon them. The Shekinah was the name that they gave, if you remember, in the wilderness. First of all, it was the cloud that was on Mount Sinai. That cloud represented God's presence. When the cloud was there, God was there. So when Moses was up there talking to God, getting the tablets and all that, that cloud, that Shekinah, was there. And if you remember, When they built the tabernacle, which was the sort of the portable temple that they had, when they built the tabernacle, this is where they would offer sacrifice and where they would offer worship. When they built that and finished it according to God's plan, and that if you read through that, it's very tedious reading, but it says, you know, the instructions are, do this, make it so many cubits, put these here, and then they describe it, and then so-and-so did this, and they describe it, them building it exactly as God prescribed it. And when they had finished, it says that that cloud moved and settled over the tabernacle. The Shekinah, God's presence, moved and settled over the tabernacle, and the tabernacle was in the middle of the people. The 12 tribes were all camped around the tabernacle, and the tabernacle was at the center. So that glory always traveled with the people and was always among the people. And the rabbis teach that when people gathered, even just two or three gathered to study the Torah, the Shekinah would be with them. Certainly, I believe that it is with us today as we celebrate this. It would be nice to see everything that happens when we gather for this worship, because we're told, you know, by saints that could see that there are angels and choirs of angels that gather for this sacrament. And certainly I believe God's presence is here, because we are more than two, or Jesus says that where two or three are gathered, he is in their midst. That, you know, God is in our midst, and certainly there are more than two or three of us gathered today, so we can be certain that that is there. So what I think Jesus is kind of saying is that when you have two or three people, that if they're doing this in God's name, I think God comes with them, you know. So I think that's a good way to think about it, is that we can do things better in together with people, I think, sometimes than we can do alone. So we want to remember, if we want to, you know, speak to somebody or to confront them or to offer them help or whatever, perhaps it's God says first to do it individually, but then try to do it with people. And I think if we do that in his name, God will help us, and God will guide us. His Spirit will come, His glory will be with us, and certainly that can't hurt. Now, we have to be sure that we gather in His name, because not everything that two or three people do together it glorifies God. If we only need to look to the Old Testament, where the story of Jezebel and Naboth and whichever one was married to Jezebel, he wanted Naboth's vineyard, and Naboth wouldn't sell him his vineyard. He was the king in the north, and he wouldn't sell the vineyard. So his wife Jezebel said, "I'll take care of it." So she said to get two people to lie and say that Naboth cursed God and blasphemed. Obviously, that was enough to convict Naboth, because two witnesses, but these are witnesses that lied. So this was obviously not, God was not present. So we have to be sure. And as has been pointed out in numerous homilies over the centuries, not every gathering that we do, even here in the church, is done in God's name. But sometimes we come with our own agendas and things like that. So we want to be sure that when we're doing things, we are doing it in His name, and in His name, and asking for His guidance, and asking for His truth, and asking for Him to lead us. When we do that, He will be in our midst. And certainly, when we gather for this sacrament, He is in our midst as well. And so, yes, it is a hard thing to do, to talk to people about God, especially nowadays. We don't, you know, we're always told to keep things to ourselves. Well, there are there are certain settings where that's probably appropriate, but we do have, God tells us, a duty that when the time is appropriate to speak to people and to speak the truth and to call people to repentance, as we have repented, we hope, and as we have been led away from our sins. So he just gives us that reminder that he will be with us when we gather in his name.